Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 74 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to cover this week's nerd news. We've got some billionaires doing good things in the world up in the beginning of our talk, and then we'll discuss the upcoming Marvel slates and kind of where the state of the entertainment industry is going. YouTube's going to get into the short video game, and then we've got a NASCAR driver getting in trouble for rage quitting during esports events. Then we'll jump over to tech news. We've got an update on the OneWeb story where they've gone bankrupt recently. And then we can talk about the latest in data breaches and some of the privacy and authoritarian concerns with the way the internet is being used during the coronavirus crisis. Big stories this week, and we're going to get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and welcome back to episode 74 of the Nerd Cantina Show here. And still in stay-at-home orders, we're still doing this coronavirus thing. Entertainment world is still shook up, but there's some new things to talk about.
Yeah, I got long-ass fucking hair. can't get a fucking haircut for nothing. Starting to look like a hippie in this bitch.
Just got to hand the clippers over.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen.
Give it a try.
That is not going to happen.
I got a home done haircut here on my head.
Yeah, well, insert joke here. I ain't got time to ramble off all the ones in my fucking head right now. I'd rather just go shaggy, put on a hat. No, thank you.
All right, well, let's move into week news. And up at the top, you know, we'll talk. It's loosely an entertainment story, but it's Bob Iger, the former CEO of Disney, who's now just the head of the board of Disney. He is foregoing his salary as well as the other top executives over at Disney, and it's just an interesting, you know, sign. This is where you start to see some billionaire altruism in the sense of tax write-offs for them.
I always hate to be the asshole in these situations, but like, honestly, in my head, first thing comes, must be nice to be so rich I can forego an entire year of my salary.
I know, but the opposite side of this is, oh, you just laid off thousands of employees across Disney at theme parks and everything else, and you're still taking your salary. So like, they don't really have a choice.
Well, I mean, essentially he just laid himself off. Like,
yeah, I mean, in the end, and
what kind of asshole would he be if he hit unemployment up? Give me this government check right quick. You know, I mean, I do like the thought process behind it. You know,
it's
like,
not effective towards charity, but it's a sign of kind of solidarity for the employees that are losing
the solidarity part of it. I get, and I do appreciate that. You know,
and he's just going to write himself a bonus at the end of the year that's going to make up for any
loss. Like, that's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter. Nothing doesn't fucking matter. This dude ain't feeling it.
He's feeling the stock hits. That's what he's feeling right now.
Yeah. That's for sure. You know, but I mean, good for him to do at least something. I mean, there's plenty of assholes in there that are just going about life as normal, you know, for him to at least make a gesture. All right, buddy. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I think that's really what it comes down to is it's a gesture. It shows his employees. Because again, how do you look at the employees that you're cutting thousands of jobs, furloughing employees all over the place?
And you could donate your year's salary to the employees.
Sure, that too.
You know, that'd be step two, is take that foregoed salary and put it into a fund to help that fucking pimply-faced 17-year-old that throws up in a Mickey Mouse head from working 16 hours in the goddamn sun. Like, cut that dude a small check.
These billionaires are putting a lot of social pressure on each other to do good things during this COVID-19 outbreak. As you get, you know, Bob Iger doing that, Google as a company donated Chromebooks to any students that need, so that California governor opened up like free internet access for a bunch of people who didn't have access to internet because they're homeschooling now and everything else, and then just said that internet access doesn't do any good without computers, and that's one of the problems. And then Google donated a ton of Chromebooks to give to any students and parents that are homeschooling that didn't have home computers in order to do so. So another good thing to do.
Yeah. Another write-off, another you know, good publicity stunt to keep us not thinking about the nefarious shit we're going to talk about them doing later on in the episode. I guess you could consider this one a wash for the shit we're going to talk about later. To me, though, I always wonder, like, why we have paper books in schools at this point anyways. You know, like, I remember in high school going to the book sale when you'd have to pick up your books before school started. And man, back in the 90s, you were dropping like $500-$600 on books. Like, yeah. You could buy two laptops for that amount right now. Like, you know, so why are we still, why are we still doing paper? We should save trees. Everything should be digital. Do the shit on a screen. You know, I don't understand why we're doing this shit ass backwards.
And the fact that, you know, they're going to change one page in a 300 page book, call it edition 7, and make you rebuy the new version next year that it doesn't actually, you can't actually use the new or the old text or whatever else. And yeah, that whole system's completely broken.
Well,
and
you know,
the digital ones don't save the school districts any money.
Well, then our broke ass had to buy all the used books because, you know, dad had lots of kids and that's lots of books to buy. So
yeah.
I was buying the used ones with the cracked spine and fucking, you know, I love Letitia written all fucking
making your own book protectors out of paper bags so that way you can keep it somewhat pristine to turn in at the end of the year.
You hit page 325 and there's just a dick drawn in the corner that no one caught.
You left plenty of your own dick drawings for the next kid.
Yeah, but mine were artistic. they increased the value of that fucking shitty used book.
But, and then, you know, we talked last week about Elon Musk giving away ventilators or not giving away ventilators, but at the time he just said he was going to be making 100,000 ventilators over the next couple months, and he was working towards that, and he started delivering them, and he's doing it free of charge using Model 3 parts, Tesla Model 3 parts primarily as to make these ventilators, and he's turning them over for free over to the health industry. So another, hey, more goodness. Yeah. Not giving your cynic. Here comes the cynic, guys.
Nah, man, I'm a musketeer. I'm gonna leave that one. I'm gonna leave that one alone. You know, did he do some work by converting his factory and making ventilators. Now he's doing some charity with it and giving away for free, man. It's a twofer. You know, I got to give it up to my guy, Elon. It actually blows my mind, though, that the air you breathe in a Tesla is probably cleaner than the air outside of the Tesla. That's, you know, if they're able to make ventilators with car parts, like,
it probably is.
You might, you know what I mean? You're actually doing better off when you're in the car than when you're outside of it.
And then last billionaire that we're going to talk about is Bill Gates. And this one actually is interesting to me, is Bill Gates. He's funding the start of 7 factories that will have the capacity to make coronavirus vaccines when they come. The interesting thing about it is that they're not 7 just factories like geographically separated. They are 7 different factories equipped to make 7 completely different types of vaccines that require different manufacturing properties and everything else. And his whole goal is that by the time a year from now or whenever they figure out what vaccine is viable out of the 10 potentials or 7 potentials, it'll get narrowed down to 2, and then maybe 2 of those are really viable or maybe only 1, but he'll have all 7 factories up and running so that way he can go into full production mode when it happens. And then 6 of them are just going to be scrap.
Well, he's been really active in like fighting malaria in Africa and things like this. So I think he has a long term goal with, you know, there's not just going to be factories sitting idle. They'll get converted into doing something else.
I'm sure he'll find a purpose for it. But it won't serve the coronavirus.
Okay with
throwing billions at these factories that he knows won't solve this problem, because he wants the factory that will solve the problem to be already made and not to go through contracting once we figured out which vaccine is good.
I always appreciate, you know, Gates' philanthropy, just because, like, he literally hit a point where, like, people say money is no object. It's like it's a saying to people, oh, money's no object. Like money doesn't exist to him at this point. Like, it doesn't, there's not even a realm where he contemplates numbers. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, what do I feel like doing? Okay, I'll do this.
And I think for you know, you could still judge the guy that he still has I don't know after the stock market crash, but before the stock market crash, it was like $102 billion net worth. So, like, clearly he's not giving away that much. But if he's still worth $110 billion or $102 billion or whatever it happens to be in the moment. But the truth is, I think you can take away cynicism when you look at Bill Gates, because I think he genuinely gives a shit about all these things.
Yeah,
he genuinely
thinks
he's in a position to change the world. For a long time, too.
It's not like he's picked up this torch.
He's not doing it for a tax write-off, that's for sure.
And he hasn't picked up this torch in the days of social justice and everything. He was doing this, him and his wife have been doing this for the last two decades. Yeah. Have, you know, just kind of gave up on what we consider our reality and just try to do as much good in the world as they can. You know, he hit a point where he's like, I got enough to feed my family for the next seven generations stashed over to the side. What the fuck am I going to do with this other pile over here? You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, when we talk about these rich people numbers, like, you can't imagine that kind of, like, power, that kind of, like, that access. You can't imagine it. There's
no,
you know, so to see him doing, you know, like, the baller Jesus move out, you know, like, good for him, man. Good for him.
All right, well, let's leave the billionaires alone for now, and we'll get in some entertainment news here.
I mean, I honestly now that I think about it, this all could just be a ploy. Because when society comes crumbling, who the fuck do you think we're coming for first? Like, don't come to me. Like, I gave you ventilators. Everybody at Google, I gave you computers. Don't burn my house, please. Meanwhile, I'm carrying out a Van Gogh.
No, I'm driving away with a Tesla. I don't give a shit about art.
I think this is like a preemptive for the Armageddon coming.
All right, well, now let's leave the billionaires behind and let's join into some entertainment talk here. First, with we've been talking about the various changes to movie slates lately, and, you know, last week we talked about some of the video on going straight to video on demand and how it would be absolutely damaging the theater industry, and the theater industry kind of fought back on that. Trolls fight really, really giving some heavy-handed words about Universal really screwing up and leaving the theater industry behind on their decision to go to Trolls straight to video on demand. And now you get, like, Forbes writing about how Black Widow, Mulan, these bigger movies, they can't do that. You know, at its best projection, Trolls was going to make $180-200 million, which sounds like a decent opening for an animated sequel, but that's not Black Widow numbers. Like, Black Widow needs to do that opening day. Mulan needs to do that opening day. And you're not going to do that. The numbers just aren't supported by video on demand that you're ever going to hit those numbers.
Yeah, no, and they just released those new dates with some, I guess, optimism. I think Mulan releases in July. Do you have it pulled up in front?
I don't.
So I think Mulan releases in July now, and Black Widow's going to release in November. So Black Widow's got some time too, but Mulan and that Rock Emily Blunt movie are the first, like, movies that they're predicting to come back. And I want to say that those are July and August release dates. So, gives me some optimism. I'll be out of my goddamn house sometime soon.
Probably not.
I got so used to seeing a movie every week, every Thursday. And it's been now like a month and a half since I've been in a theater. Like, man, I'm dying for some pretzel bites and some popcorn. I'm fucking dying. Giant cherry Coke.
Yeah. But even in this, you know, even though Universal gave those threatening kind of veiled threats about the theater industry never forgetting what Universal did, Disney this week did send a movie straight to to demand. And for the life of me, I can't remember which one it is. It was a minor movie or whatever else, but it was another theatrical release that Disney pulled off. It was kind of a young adult teen type movie. And they pulled it from their slate to go into theater. It's going straight to on demand. And I think if this thing does push again to July or June, we'll see if, you know, there's no telling when people are going to feel comfortable sitting in a room of hundreds of strangers, shoulder to shoulder, for 3 hours again. I don't know when the general public is going to feel comfortable doing that again.
Well, so like me personally, I don't fear that. Even if I caught Corona, you know, I'm pretty positive I'd be all right. Like I'm not going to wall myself off that long. But you know, we have a grandfather with breathing issues, and it's that I worry about. It's not myself. It's the poisoning of my family that worries me the most, and that's almost like worse than worrying about myself. You know, because like if I get myself sick, fuck it, it's my own goddamn fault. But if I'm responsible for killing my grandfather, I don't know how well I can handle that. And grandpa, you know, is getting up there in age, and he's got medical issues, and I'd like to spend some time with him, you know, while we still have those opportunities. And yeah, I'm in this kind of like conundrum right now of like, even though we've been tested in the house and we're okay, that was 3 days ago. In the last 3 days, I've gone on a few estimates. Who knows who I've come in contact with? I'll never find out if they've tested positive after. You live in this gray area. So until they actually have the test to see if you have either A, the antibodies, or B, you know, the 5 minute quick, you know, 15 minute test that you can go take maybe once a week. Yeah, I don't know how fast people are going to get back to this.
Yeah, and that's, I think, really where, until those measures are in place, I really just don't see people feeling comfortable. So I think this year is going to be tough for the theater industry. And I don't know, maybe we get more Artemis Fowl. That's the movie that I couldn't think of for the Disney. Maybe we get more Artemis Fowl that drops straight to video on demand instead of having that theatrical release, because now Universal did it, but so has Disney. So the theater industry, what, are they going to boycott Disney? No, you're not. Like, go give that tough talk to Disney and see how that mouse feels about it.
Yeah.
And like, these companies are going to do what they can. These mid-grade movies, the average rom-com, these teen movies like Artemis Fowl and stuff like that, they can go straight to video on demand, and they can probably do okay.
No one's really like going after Netflix for buying up the movies that they think are going to be shit and not do good in the theater. You know, no one's really roasting Netflix's balls over the fire about buying up The Irishman or anything like that. You know, but the minute these major,
I feel like they are roasting their balls, just Netflix has got big enough where they can handle it now.
You know, I just like it's the big ones that the theaters are worried about, you know. And like, I guess Trolls is in that kind of gray area of major movies. Like you said, it wasn't going to do Black Widow numbers or anything like that, but it is a family, so now you're talking like four tickets plus big tub of popcorn and candy and sodas for the entire family. Like, those are where the theaters make their big profit margins on. So the fact that the families aren't going in there, it might not have had a big ticket release, but it would have generated a decent amount of profit in the theater for the building.
Yeah. And I mean, and if we want movies with the quality of what Marvel's putting together, and the level of production value, and paying these big actors $50 million for a movie and doing all that, they need a theatrical release that they can make $1 billion on, that they can make $750 million on in order
to justify. Well, that's why I'm surprised some of the actors haven't spoken out about this. You know, because like you said, if things are going to start going on demand and profits and ticket sales are going to drop, you know, a lot of like, so Scarlett Joe's salary is based on ticket sales. You know, if they were to release Black Widow into straight on demand, what's going to happen to her point percentage that she makes on the back end? You ain't getting shit. So, you know, the Robert Downey Jr.'s who make hundreds of millions of dollars once Endgame's
released. Yeah, he made like $75 million during Endgame.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, those numbers are fucked. So I don't understand how a lot of these actors aren't coming out and saying, nah, guys, you guys still got to go to theater. Like you still got to go to the theater.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a complicated kind of change in order for the movie industry to go video on demand or straight to video on demand for in kind of like a pay-per-view model. You know, Netflix is different because they don't charge anything. They just release for free. That's just a part of being a member. Like, here you go.
Yeah, I just watched that new Mark Wahlberg one this week, and it's like, yep, nobody was going to go see this. Good call.
But I'll watch it on Netflix. Yeah,
but I'm stuck in the fucking Netflix house. I got nothing to watch. I watched it.
It's that or Tiger King. But I still haven't watched.
Oh, you motherfucker. I was just about to ask. You haven't even started it, man?
Not even a single minute.
God damn it.
I barely made it through Devs this week. I watched exactly 1 hour of movies this week.
Fucking Carol Baskin.
Over my head. But yeah, you know, this is a difficult thing. We've got another story in here, you know, coming from movieweb.com where they're speculating whether AMC can ever recover from this coronavirus stuff and whether the theater industries are going to recover from just being out like this. And if more movies go video on demand and everything else, that they may never see strong, you know, years again. Like I said, if there's no consumer confidence, AMC, that they can be safe.
AMC is the biggest chain there is. And if AMC can't take, Jesus, what's going to happen? Movie theaters. Like, and I'll be disappointed. The reason why I'm able to write all these reviews is because the A-List program. You know, I ain't trying to pay no $15 per movie. I go see 4 or 5 movies a month, you know, and to think that COVID might take out my whole system is pretty fucked up, man, and makes you wonder, like, how, you know, you just assume these movies are making $1 billion, everybody's going to the theater, popcorn costs $10, a pop is like $7, you know what I mean? You just assume that these theaters are just raking in money,
but they're not. And in order to kind of justify, I think most people are seeing it in there, and what the article kind of hints at is that what you see is all these theaters, you know, wherever you live in the country, like the AMC theaters and stuff, they're all adding in those recliners. They're all getting fancier. They're adding food options.
This was like a perfect storm of timing. Money. Yeah, this was like a perfect storm of timing.
They're trying to find relevance because people stopped going to the movie as much. So AMC at the end of 2019 reported that they were at a $5 billion deficit at the end of 2019, and they had a net loss of $110 million in 2018. This year,
It's fucked.
They're dead. And like I said, even if they start running movies again in July, yeah, you're going to get the big movies. People might go and risk it, but nobody's going to go risk it for these rom-coms, for these little, to go sit next to some coughing idiot sitting inches from you. So I think even if they come back in June, July, and they get essentially a 7-month year of theater goers, they're still dead.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. And me as an avid moviegoer, government wants to bail out these airplanes. I don't fucking ever go on a goddamn airplane, but I'm in a theater every fucking week. Like, you need to come up with some stimulus package for these movie theaters. Help a brother out. Like, fuck.
But truthfully, I mean, that will probably be the only thing that can save them is some level of stimulus, some level of, well, of something that's going to step in. And that's what this article
like they worry about the airlines and stuff like that. But really, to me, the people that are most affected by this are like the movie theaters, the bars, the restaurants. You know, like, these were the people that were heavily reliant on, you know, are people going out and enjoying themselves and having a good time. You know, these industries are taking huge hits. Like, your favorite restaurant that you like to go to might not ever come back. You know what I mean? Your dive bar that you used to go to after work might not ever open again, just because a lot of these places, they get by on thin margins, and having to be shut down for 2 months, 3 months, maybe 4 months, you know, and even when it comes back, not making the same amount of money they were making on a regular basis to begin with, it's going to be devastating. And I don't think any of us want to see our favorite places close. You know, I know when they lift the order, some of the first things I'm going to do is go to the theater and go to my favorite restaurants and tip well and eat good. Cause, you know, like,
I've actually eaten out more. You know, I'm cheap. I don't go out to eat very often ever. We've eaten out more in the last 2 weeks, not because we can't go for ourselves, but because we're trying to support local restaurants. So we're just doing takeout and doing curbside for these small local restaurants that we know have opened up in the last year and a half. We know that they've got to be dying.
Yeah, my favorite restaurant around here, around my house, is this sushi and hibachi restaurant. And we were in the area, and I called him the other day and just asked, you know, like, hey, you guys doing pickup orders? He's like, yes, we are. please come pick up some food.
there's literally a restaurant we like out here that's doing, it was like for $40, you get four meals. They're going to wrap up a dessert, and they throw in a roll of toilet paper with it.
Oh, snap. Genius. Fucking genius.
It's a great promotion. So there's all kinds of interesting local restaurants doing, follow your favorite local restaurant.
They must have had a TP plug, man. Like, I don't understand how they're able to even pull that off. I'm in a lot of the local Facebook groups, so I could advertise my electrical company, and that's all people are posting. Like, I ran out of toilet paper 2 days ago. Like, I feel like I'm in this perpetual Seinfeld episode. Like, can you spare a square? I can't possibly spare a square.
Yeah, just it's dire. This country's in bad shape.
But yeah, I hope to God that after, you know, the country's still kind of behind in getting it up. Like, none of the SBA programs that I'm trying to attach to for my business are up and running yet, you know, so we're still kind of lagging behind in the trying to recover from all this. So I'm hoping there's going to be a second wave. They do focus on some of these other industries that hit really hard. Just a package that goes to just restaurant owners, bar owners, concert hall owners. Like, these are the places that, you know, the limited times I do go out, I like to frequent. And if they're not there anymore, you might as well lock me back in my fucking house again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult. But let's move from I guess the depressing closing of our favorite things here. And I guess talk about a great story with, you know, our sports are shut down and it's causing some problems with the sporting world. But NASCAR has embraced the coronavirus cancellations, and they've actually created their own esports division where they're having the drivers. And I said this already, I don't know why NFL is not doing this. The quarterback and defensive captain of every team playing Madden games against other teams and whatever. People will watch it. People will at least
they're
engaged.
They just want to see Drew Brees' face again or something, you know,
So NASCAR is doing simulated races, esports races, and Bubba Wallace, he had a terrible showing in the simulated race. He crashed on lap 11, and then continued in the race, was in dead last, and at one point in time, just rage quits out of an actual live esports NASCAR event. And he has lost a legit sponsor due to his esports rage quit.
Like, anybody that's ever video gamed and thrown a controller at the TV, you gotta love this story. Like, you got to love this story. Like they take this regular dude who drives really fast, and it's like, no, don't worry, it'll be the same. It's simulated. It's a video game. It's gonna be just the same. Grab the wheel. Come on, guys. We gotta do this. And then he gets in there, and you know, just like every non video game parent, you know, gets into this game, and just by the middle of it, gets so frustrated. I just love every bit of this story. It is great.
Yeah, no, it's phenomenal. I respect Bubba Wallace more. I actually respect the sponsor as well. you punish that bitch. You finish that game. We've all had that friend that's flipped over a board game. I may have flipped over a few myself, and that dude's an asshole. And he deserves to be punished.
I've smashed a couple of controllers on my head. A funny story that's kind of adjacent to this one is, I'm a degenerate gambler. I like to bet on football. And so I get all the emails from the football betting sites and everything like that. These motherfuckers got the nerve to send me an email to ask me if I want to bet on a simulated Madden game. What kind of fucking asshole do you take me for, sir?
Oh yeah, I wonder if Players Lounge is popping from
do you know how bad of a degenerate gambler I would feel like if I'm just betting on simulated Madden games? Like, that's when you check yourself into a program. Like, that is literally, if you are out there right now and you put you know, $50 on the Falcons playing, God, you know, the Rams on a simulated Madden game that was live streamed on Twitch. Go seek help. Like, please, go seek help.
All right. Well, I think that's it for entertainment, unless you feel like talking about YouTube shorts. But
well, I do like, so real quick then, yeah, I guess. So YouTube is going to create an app to rival TikTok. And I mean, we've had our issues with TikTok in the past on the show, you know, so I want to say that last number I heard, what did I send it to you? It was like TikTok has 800 million.
80, yeah.
Or
yeah.
80 or 800. There's kind of good a big question. Difference.
It's a slight difference.
I want to say it's 800. I want to say it's 800 million because I thought it was close to a billy. I was like, yeah, holy shit.
Worldwide, it probably is.
Yeah. So like TikTok has 800 million users. It's a Chinese owned company. They're stealing all kinds of data and doing nefarious shit with this app. We've stated in the past that you probably shouldn't use TikTok. Obviously, no one listens to our show.
So, all right. TikTok has 842 million first-time downloads in the last 12 months alone.
Holy shit. You know, so given the fact that it is a Chinese-owned company that does dirty shit, I do like the fact that a YouTube is going to come out with a rival.
Yeah, which is owned by Google, and they already own everything. Like, what at this point, what can Google learn?
I would rather have evil. I would rather have evil Americans own everything than evil Chinese people. Okay, like, so I'm a hometown guy. All right,
I've never downloaded TikTok. I'm not a part of that 842 million that downloaded.
I want the supervillain I know, not the supervillain I don't.
But yeah, YouTube's trying to get into this short game, compete with TikTok. I don't know. I think everybody's attention span, like the shorts, is where it's at. Like, I don't know what Quibi is. Do you know what Quibi? Have you seen these commercials? Quibi stuff.
I'm fighting it. So what Quibi does?
There's legit actors and stuff that are putting together these 8-minute videos on Quibis, and like I don't know what it is.
So what I think, okay, like send all your emails and comments. Like, we're taking a wild guess because I don't even want to click the website. I don't want to find out any information about it because I'm not trying to support this whatsoever. But I'm pretty sure Quibi is like, oh, you don't have time to watch an hour-long Game of Thrones episode? We're going to condense it into 5 minutes and give it to you right here. Boom.
No, I think it's originals. I think it's original content.
No, I don't think so.
That people are like doing their own original shorts, and they can't be greater than, like, I think it's like
they charge like $100 a year for it, though.
Yeah, because it's like there's legit like actors and stuff that are putting together.
There's legit actors on TikTok, episodes. Motherfucker.
No. That's like Instagram famous people.
No, man, I'm telling you, like, you could see Sofia Vergara and all these, like if you're a somebody and you don't have a TikTok, then you're probably not a somebody.
I don't know. So somebody join the nerdcantina.com/community. Jump in there. Tell us why we're missing out, what great content's on Quibi. But I'm the same way. I see the ads all over the place and I won't click an ad.
I won't click it. I won't do it.
I don't need another subscription, and I don't need something just stealing 5 minutes of my life 10 times a day, because that's exactly what it turns into. So,
nope, not doing it.
I can't handle it. I think that like Quibi's going down that like lack of willpower where people can just be like, oh, I got 5 minutes. And then 3 hours later,
that's why I thought it was like, it's a app program that takes like the latest This Is Us episode and cuts out all the bullshit, and it's just like, blah, blah, blah. This happened. You're caught up.
It's like the previously on that before.
Yeah, it's like,
I think you're wrong. Somebody go to the cantina and tell Steve he's wrong.
Well, maybe I just developed a new service.
Well, there you go. We're not TikTok users, but what we're saying, when YouTube Shorts comes out, get the hell off TikTok and join YouTube Shorts, because TikTok is definitely doing, like, it is a Chinese espionage attempt at understanding U.S. consumers. So get away from it.
Yeah. Tell grandma to quit doing the Harlem Shake and fucking move on over to an American-based company.
All right. Tech news. Let's roll through some tech news here because
we ain't got no space. It was a very slow week in outer space.
I mean, the only real news, I didn't even put the article up there, but I did follow it. The third prototype of the Starship did destroy this week. in cryogenic testing, pressure testing. Another, so we're down to Mach 4 now as three starships have failed, which is a part of the process. I don't look down on
We've said that before.
A Starship or SpaceX for that, but that was really the only space news that I was paying attention to this week.
Coronavirus got even aliens self-isolated.
But let's move into, well, we can do a quick wrap up of, we talked about OneWeb last week, OneWeb being kind of the competitor to Starlink, and was really the only other satellite internet company that was really actively launching satellites. Like 2 weeks ago, it launched satellites. 1 week ago, it filed for bankruptcy. and then we talked about it. We talked about like what would happen to OneWeb, and we were just speculating, saying like, well, of course, one of the big four companies is going to buy it. Like, which one's not in the satellite internet game? Facebook or whatever else, they're going to buy it. And then, sure as shit, this week, you start to hear that OneWeb is now shutting down its staff, is shutting everything down, and they're in talks with Facebook and Amazon to sell the 74 satellites that are in orbit and the rest of what they've got planned.
Yeah, we were leaning more towards somebody that wasn't already in the satellite game, like a Facebook.
So I said Facebook. Yeah. So Facebook's had plans to do it, but they haven't actually moved on any of it. But Facebook does have a plan to get out into space-based internet. They just haven't started it. Amazon's closer with their Constellation network, but they also haven't gotten off the ground or launched any satellites yet. So this could be either the jumpstart into the Constellation network, or it could be the start of Facebook really making a serious ploy. But like, you can predict some company's going to go down. They've got some innovative technology. We know who's going to buy them. It's one of five options.
Yeah.
So
there's just not too many buyers in the satellite game.
Yeah. So we can move on to new topics this week, and we can talk about just some AI news, artificial intelligence. There was a new artificial intelligence tool that was created, as we're going to see many of these, I think, kind of pop up. One of them this week was helping to identify coronavirus patients that were really at the greatest risk of having what they're calling wet lung, or that really, really low down deep pneumonia that is causing the ventilator issues and everything else. And there's an AI tool that's able to predict it pretty accurately by just looking at what type of patient it is, their history, and coming up with pretty good models that are, if the medical industry starts listening to it, they can benefit significantly.
And this is just another example of how, like I say, that, you know, AI and robots aren't just going to steal the blue collar factory jobs. You know, these machine learning systems are going to maybe not steal all the medical jobs, but they're going to devalue them. That's for sure. You know, if you're making high six figures as a doctor now, be prepared for a price cut, a salary cut in the near future, because robots are going to take away a lot of what you do every day and streamline your job. And now you're not as talented as you think you are.
Yeah. And I mean, we could jump. I had this article on the list for later in the talk, but we could jump to it now in the sense that, like, TheGuardian.com posted an article about how what we see already is that bosses are looking to speed up automation as the virus is making human employment more risky. This designation that you have to claim somebody as essential. Well, not everything's essential, but it's still beneficial and necessary for the growth of a company. Well, now they're looking at how do you replace the human in those positions. And these massive spikes of unemployment, those humans going home, a smart business person is looking at how you replace that human. How do you put systems in place using artificial intelligence? How do you put robotic systems that are more reliable in the sense that you can run it 24 hours a day and can cover these gaps?
Yeah, and with the Fed dropping interest rates and the government giving out all kinds of money right now, it's a great time to take out a big loan and buy a bunch of robots and give it a whirl. You know, there's industry's changing. There's a lot of talk about how people think it's you know, society will bounce right back. We've had industrial revolutions in the past, and it's just going to bounce right back. And I don't think it's the same. I really don't. I think it's going to be one of these things where, you know, I don't think any time in history we've just totally made humans obsolete.
I really do think, though, that this crisis is, like, worldwide is going to cause a lot of businesses to rethink how they do things. A lot of them, I think you're going to see a huge boom in remote work after this. Like 2021 is going to be the year to get remote work. Yeah.
And
I think a lot of companies are going to realize that, hey, we did just fine for 6 months. We could reduce overhead. We can have less physical office space. We can hire people in lower cost of living areas that could work remotely. So they don't need require as much salary. Like, I think it's going to cause a lot of remote work. So I think 2021, we're going to see a huge boom in remote job offerings. And then I think a lot of companies are being smart, and they're going to look at, like, how do we just remove the humans? How do we remove these virus catchers?
Sam Harris recently just had a podcast with the guy who owns Tumblr, and he owns, man, some other big tech.
He owned WordPress.
WordPress, yeah. So he owns WordPress, and he bought Tumblr. And they did a whole hour-long discussion because he lets all his employees work all over the world. And he was going over some of the hurdles that he had to get over in the beginning stages. He breaks it down into like 5 iterations of where your company's at in remote working and things like that. And most of the world is in iteration 1 and 2. He's in iteration 5, you know, and he went over all the different plans to bring it there. And I hope something like this does push people, you know, more work from home situations, because from the studies that we've seen, it breeds better work environments, better, happier employees. Productivity doesn't slouch at all. People are able to, there's so many benefits that come from working at home, but we're just kind of stuck in this factory mindset of 9 to 5, show up to the office, put in the grind. No one's willing to really think out of the box. And with a tech generation getting older and becoming into more power in a situation like this, this might be the thing that pushes it over a hump, and we might really reframe society after this point.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just enjoying watching all of these crazy videos on the internet of people not realizing their camera's on Zoom, and they're on the toilet while they're in a business meeting. And,
and husbands walking in their underwear.
Yeah, people just scream, catching all kinds of crazy nonsense that people are doing on these meetings, because we are clearly not professionally prepared to be working from home.
No.
So that's been internet gold, to see all the fails of work at home life.
I mean, my 18-month-old daughter's doing Zoom preschool calls. Like, yeah. even my 1-year-old is got, you know, scheduled online meetings and shit right now.
I mean, it was a quick turn where Zoom. I mean, Zoom ran the world, and then now we see this week, some of these other articles that we have to discuss today, is Zoom quickly.
They weren't ready for
taking
this.
Over. And then they're not ready to handle all of this, and they're not ready, you know, once anything gains national notoriety like this, you get the assholes coming out of the woodwork looking for how to exploit it, how to one, find the vulnerabilities for their own personal benefit. You even got people just doing it just to be assholes,
just to
Zoom bombing, conference bombing is a thing. Just joining random business conferences and stuff like that and doing dumb shit has become something that people find entertaining. So Zoom is having huge issues with their privacy concerns, and they're facing multiple complaints. It was announced that New York is no longer allowing their school systems at all to use Zoom as a conferencing software between students or anything like that. As a man in Florida joined into some class and exposed himself to a Zoom classroom.
Like, why, bro?
And it's just, I just don't get it.
Like, I've said it probably like at least 8 times in the last like 3 days. I just want off this plane. Like, I didn't ask to be here. I just want to get off. Like, it's a bad roller coaster ride. Just get me off this thing. Like, this is so absurd.
Yeah, and just today the Department of Justice announced that they're looking into Zoom and their privacy issues, that they're now incredibly concerned with what they're seeing, and they're taking a look at it themselves. So,
I feel kind of bad for Zoom in the sense that they were just trying to be the better Skype, and they weren't even at like Skype levels. And now, like that's all people are talking about is Zoom. Like I'm sure Skype CEOs and the Skype board is like, do people just forget we fucking exist? Like
no, Skype yesterday came out and changed their policy to where you can now do Skype meetings and Skype stuff without a login. So that was the thing that Zoom benefited from. You could just send a link to anybody. That was also their exploit that people are Zoom bombing and everything else. Skype just opened it up to where they said, oh, we can do the same thing Zoom's doing. We've now made it to where you don't have to have a login. You don't have to give us your email address. Anybody could use Skype regardless.
Hey, guys.
Skype's getting
in the
game, too.
Hey, guys, over here.
Remember us?
In hindsight, being 2020, since we've used Zoom for the last year to record this show, how did we not buy stock? How did we not buy Zoom stock the first day we talked about this virus possibly shutting down society?
I punch myself in the scrotum for every time I think about the stock I haven't bought. Like, I never bought Amazon stock. Like, I was using Amazon and selling books on Amazon. Like, I was reselling books on Amazon when it was just a book service. And I saw the growth of Amazon. I benefited from it. And I never thought for a moment to be like, yeah, I should toss some money there.
I remember watching Attack of the Show the day Bitcoin was invented and them talking about it and me thinking to myself, like, it's fucking,
that makes sense.
It's World of Warcraft gold. Like, who's going to give real money for World of Warcraft gold? At any time, these servers could just shut down and there goes $1,000 of my money. You know, if I'd have gave them $100 the day I watched that episode, I want to say I quantified it. And right now, or at the peak, it would have been worth like 170 Gs. My $100 investment 12, 15 years later would have been worth 170 fucking grand. Like, and I literally, like, I vividly remember sitting in the living room watching the news part, you know, watch them talk about digital money. I'm like, what fucking moron is going to give real fucking government-backed money to some jamoke with a server in his basement talking about, I got bitcoins, yo. Like... Yeah, who's the fucking moron now?
This is the second week in a row that we're going to remind our audience here that if you're here looking for financial advice, go somewhere else. Yeah. But before you do, stop over at Patreon and give us a buck and support the show because we've screwed up. Yeah. That's why we're here today.
We fail. We fail hard. You know, but I do feel bad for them just because they... You know, they weren't ready for this. They had their own growth plans and they were doing good and all of a sudden the world flips upside down and like everybody is using Zoom for all kinds of shit now.
And then 5 days later, every news outlet is shitting on Zoom and telling everybody what a privacy nightmare it is. And I mean, their stock went down again if you want to buy it now because it went up and it went down hard following all the privacy issues.
Oh, yeah. You know, they'll figure it out. You know, like this telecommuting is not going to go anywhere anytime soon. So they'll patch it. You know, and if they come out of it as Skype's rival, I guess they can look at it as a net positive.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't know. We can move away from that topic. I guess we can talk about another privacy concern with a company, and it's Marriott. And this is just something public service announcement. Marriott just lost your information. If you've ever stayed at a Marriott or one of the many hotels owned by Marriott or whatever else, but 5.2 million people's guest information was lost in a data breach again by Marriott, who's had a large, significant data breach before, and here they go again.
Yeah, you went in there worried about bringing home bed bugs, but you you should have been doing a better job of concealing your goddamn debit card. Like this stuff, just everybody gets data breached. Like we might as well just walk around with our social security numbers on our t-shirts and shit at this point. Like,
but in Marriott's defense, they only lost 5.2 million people. If you put that in context to their 2018 data breach that was 500 million, they're doing well. This is a huge improvement.
They had a 90% cut on their data breach numbers. Good job, Marriott. Fucking dick.
Don't check his math.
So I don't know how you solve this problem. So, like, do you pass legislation that says if you have X amount of customers or X amount of information, you have to have X amount of encryption, you know, and like, I don't trust the government to be up on tech enough to know where the bar should be set, let alone enforce it, you know, but something's got to be done because you come out, these data breaches are so common now that it's not even bad press for them at this point. No one cares.
It's a blip. Only nerds like us.
Yeah, no one cares.
We like to talk about privacy issues and stuff. But yeah, everybody. It's kind of mundane now. Everybody just expects. Honestly, I think at some point in time, the government's got to step in and make like credit monitoring for consumers free, like or something. Like if all our data is out there, and at this point in time, just about everybody's data is in one of these many breaches, and if so much of our identity is tied into our credit score and our ability to actually do things, like unless you're a billionaire, you kind of rely on having some kind of credit. Like you can't get an apartment without it.
Yeah.
It pisses
you can't
me
even
off.
Get a job nowadays if you got bad credit. I can
go on a tirade about the whole concept that like, you know, the Experian is advertising like you can get a credit boost or whatever else, that you could pay for a premium membership with Experian and they can give you a credit boost. And it's like, bitch, if my credit score should have been 30 points higher, like if there's something in my credit that you could boost it 30 points higher because of something in there that's optional if you add it or not. Why is that allowable? Why does the government allow me to pay to boost?
Yeah, my credit score is just some arbitrary fucking number that they make up as they go along that just holds tremendous weight in my entire fucking life.
And I think it's what they advertise, that the credit boost is where like then they'll roll in like your monthly rent payments and other things that aren't normally reported to the credit bureau. And it's like, if I can pay you $15 a month for you to boost that bullshit, like that needs to be something that's automatic in there. It's either something you're not tracking or it's something that I get for fucking free.
Yeah, no, but it's basic extortion. It's basically extortion. You know, my credit score holds tremendous weight over me being able to buy a house, buy a car, get a line of credit for my business, you know, take my kids on a vacation. Like there's all kinds and like we said, nowadays, if you know, companies are running background checks and credit scores just for you to get a job. So if I have shitty credit because I don't have a job and I can't get the job because I have shitty credit, like what kind of fucking society are we fucking building here right now?
Oh, all right, let's yank it back. Yanking it back here. bring it on back to a nice calm conversation about how from all the surveillance and shit going on during coronavirus, that dictatorships and authoritarian regimes are going to arise.
Yeah. So
this is a political topic that is interesting following all this. And it is a concern in an article. So this is coming from like the independent.co specifically talking about like there are already countries in this world that are overstepping significantly because of the coronavirus and going into a way more authoritarian regime. Like you can look at what's going on in Hungary.
I was gonna say just this week I messaged you and John about it. Like Hungary went full Star Wars, man. Like they went full fucking Palpatine. Dude was like, society's crumbling. You need to give me full powers. Don't worry, I'm only doing it for Corona. Just give me give me all the power that I can have in this government. You know, that's how, what's the line Padme says? That's how liberty dies, with thunderous applause. Like,
yeah. That's exactly what he did, because that same day, or maybe it was the next day,
He started revoking like transgender.
Yeah,
like,
he revoked transgender classifications and designations, like, and stuff. Because that's how you defeat coronavirus, everybody.
Yeah, I know.
But we also see like even like we tout the successful approach that like South Korea had in the fact that they didn't they were one of the early countries hit and they didn't blow up. But now you can look up, there's all kinds of documentaries and stuff that talk about how South Korea did it. And the way they did it was like the government fully tracked, used facial recognition on all CCTV. They used cell phone data and the credit card data. So that way, if somebody showed up at a hospital that tested positive for coronavirus, they went through that person's cell phone data, credit card data, and CCTV, found out every store that person went to, everywhere that person went to, and then linked other people's cell phones and went knocking on people's doors and tested them as well, anybody that person had contact with. So they went with a completely authoritarian approach of surveilling everybody.
Well, and there's stories coming out right now that Google's trying to do the same thing with all of us.
They are. in the sense that they're providing data on which communities are.
Well, we have more gaps in our metadata than a country like Korea or China.
They're providing anonymous data. Yeah. But in South Korea, Singapore, Hong Kong, they weren't providing anonymous data. They were saying like, no, this person
like with
COVID,
Bob went
he was
to
within like, 5 feet of these 100 people. Here are their addresses. Go send somebody with a test kit to go knock on their door. Tell them they have to self-isolate for the next 3 weeks and test them. And that's what they were doing. So they didn't do it. South Korea beat the coronavirus without a single like shutdown like what we're doing in this country. But that's because they targeted anybody who came in contact through surveillance data and they forced those people into quarantine.
And this is where it gets really murky waters because like there's going to be a large portion of people that say, well, no, that's a good thing, you know, but as I've stated before, how if you want true freedom, you got to let bad people get away with things. If you want true freedom, some motherfucker's going to have to die of corona. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you can't, you know, we're in a very murky place right now where, you know, at first it was fear of terrorism. We gave up a bunch of our rights. Now it's fear of a virus. And people are just like, I feel like a lot of this is just a giant compliance test by the world's governments.
And this is the concern from the individual who wrote the article in this opinion piece is that's the concern is that dictatorships may arise from this because you give governments across the world these powers to surveil their people to get this perfect data on where everybody's going, what they're doing, and you're now controlling other people's behavior based on where they've been. Can you turn that off? Like
one of the most intrusive pieces of legislation in American history came out of 9/11 and the Patriot Act, you know, because, you know, so everyone should fear what's the next bill going to be written now in the wake of the coronavirus that is going to be written in lieu for our, you know, public health and public safety and things like that. And really it's going to be huge governmental oversight. I'm very curious as to see what's going to happen to our court system in 2021. You're going to have all kinds of people that got tickets, that got arrested for not self-isolating, for not quarantining themselves. You're going to have businesses suing the government because, look, I went out of business because you forced me to close.
There were 52 citations given today to people for violating the stay-at-home order in San Diego.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I'd wipe my ass with that thing. I would wipe my ass with that thing and throw it back at that Barney Fife motherfucker. I understand that we have health concerns and we're all trying to do our best, but at the same time, I live in a free fucking country. And at one point, you know, we let people be free to be assholes all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
I'm a supporter of the stay-at-home orders. I was an early adopter of it that I believe this should have happened before.
Like that term, and stay-at-home orders. It's really a stay-at-home suggestion, motherfucker.
Because
you ain't ordering me shit. You ain't ordering me shit. I'm a free fucking man. You ain't telling me shit.
I find these things to be beneficial. This is just what we're bringing up and what my concern is. We just got to, as a community, keep our eyes wide open towards that there's no lasting legislation that comes from this and that we recognize where the overreaches are and when this needs to stop. And that's the concern, less so here, but like look around the world at some of these countries around the world that were already like on the borderline of authoritarianism. And like they're full on authoritarianism now.
Well,
and
so,
12 months
so
from now, they still will be.
Like I'm gonna sound like a dick right now, but I don't care. So we're shutting down the entire world economy for the safety of 2% of the world. For this, like literally, so think about that. Like logistically, we are completely shutting down all of society to save 2%. Of people that catch this virus.
It's more than that, but
I mean, realistically, that's what the death rate is at about now. It's about 2%.
Yeah. If this thing got to scale, the death rate would go higher because you would run out of
medical equipment. At what point does public safety not become all of society's problem, but the 2%'s problem? So like, you know, you can't, it's so fucked up because like we yelled at the spring breakers for being morons, you know, because, like, yeah, to ask someone to stay in the house for 2 weeks is one thing. To ask me to shut my life down for 2 months, now that's a bigger fucking issue. And we kind of have to weigh the long-term effects, the overreach effects, and just say, well, if you feel you might die from corona, you stay in the fucking house. I'm going to the goddamn restaurant. If you think you are one of the people that might die from this, then you fucking lock your ass up. I'm gone, motherfucker. It's about to be summertime in Chicago. I'm not sitting in the fucking house. I'm not doing it.
Me and you have talked about this. We don't have to go too far down the corona rabbit hole here, but there does come a point that society has to accept risk because a vaccine's not coming anytime soon. 12 months is a long fucking time, and we're not going to have one in 12 months. Maybe 18 months. Maybe 20 months.
You know, and I do understand the numbers are so low right now because we have self-isolated and the majority of the world is really caring and doing a good job of this. But at some point, like I said, I need to get back to fucking my life. And the world will never be the same from this shit. The kind of, you know, we're going to hit a recession, all kinds of fucking major fallout. The virus will, in the long-term ramifications of this whole thing, the virus and the deaths will probably be the least, like, most impactful thing that comes out of this.
Well, and this is, Trump got in trouble for saying that the cure can't be worse than the disease, right? And he got fucking roasted by media and certain people. And
I'll give it to him when he's right. He's right.
If you just take it away from the person saying it,
isn't that in the Morbius trailer with Jared Leto? I swear to God, it's in the Morbius trailer.
But you know, if you take away the disease could be really bad, but so could a worldwide depression that leads to
mass suicide
and genocide and genocide events and not mass suicide, but war. Like, war follows depression, like, not necessarily in this country, but across the world.
And if there's wars across the world, then die. We send our troops too. Like, that's how.
And then
it
you're
going to
see hundreds of thousands of people die.
It's all going to be corona adjacent. It might not be. It might not be from corona, but it'll be corona adjacent.
So, all right. I'm going to contemplate just editing this whole last like 10 minutes out here.
You let that shit ride, motherfucker. You let that shit ride.
Let's get out of here before we get too fired up. It's late. All right, nerds. Well, hopefully.
Man, the future's bleak.
Hopefully you're still sticking around. We're going to come back next week for more talk on Marvel and the happy, fun things. We'll stay away from depressing topics next week.
Yeah. Support your local comic book store. Order some comics in the mail.
But hey, thanks for sticking around and joining us for episode 74. This week, we're also releasing some interviews from our book reviewer, Megan. We also recorded that. So episode 75 will follow shortly with three good book reviews. So if you're stuck at home and you're interested in picking up a book, take a listen on to episode 75. Get some good recommendations coming from Megan.
Yeah, and I'm depressed now.
All right. Well, I'll take it out from here. Thanks again for listening. Like, subscribe, join us, the Nerd Cantina / community.
Pound the share.
Have a good one. We'll talk to you again next week, nerds.
See you, nerds.